Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ROH Review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Yeah, really good. I don't know if the viewers can see along, as we've mentioned on the off-air. I've had a bit of a haircut, feeling a bit lighter on top. Survived the weather, so if anyone here is listening in the UK, I hope you're all safe with the terrible weather we've been having. But yeah, feeling good and looking forward to talking some more Ring of Honor. How about yourself, Oliver?
Yeah, I wasn't in the kind of weather conditions you were yesterday. So, for anyone out there, I hope you're all safe and well, in all seriousness. And, just looking forward to reviewing the show. The absolute major thing that's happened for the episode to be titled as it is Fight Network UK have taken Ring of Honor off the air here in the UK. We're not sure if it's a Ring of Honor decision or a Fight Network UK decision, but it left me and Stephen in complete and utter limbo, wondering if the show would continue. And then when you've had almost 9,000 listens on SoundCloud alone, obviously the feedback's been fantastic from the wrestlers, likes and retweets and stuff. We had to continue. Add to that, we have lined up different interviews with ROH stars and alumni and things of that nature. And it was like, yeah, we've got to continue. So I was like, Stephen, we can watch this on Honor Club. There's other ways to watch that. The show, we'll talk about it at the end of the episode tonight. And then we started making notes, and we was like, okay, we're going to go down the route of watching it this way and pushing forward with this, because we're absolutely bemused by this situation. We reached out on Twitter to Fight Network UK, haven't had a response in the tweet, haven't had a response in a direct message. We were contemplating what the future of the ROH Review would be. But like I said, behind the scenes, trying to set up interviews with different wrestlers and alumni and everyone wanting to be interviewed, which is just absolutely amazing. We realized that we had to continue. And going into just get your thoughts on the situation. I know I don't usually bring you in when I'm talking about the news because we like to get through it, but this definitely has to be talked about.
Just shocked. I don't see, Ring of Honor was given a prime schedule slot, 9 o'clock on a Friday evening on the Fight Network, who've been doing great work with all the social media and everything for, TNA, Impact Wrestling, TNA Archive, and the other independents, what they've been showing. Just shocking, and just the fact that we haven't seen anything on Twitter, that we haven't heard anything, that there's been no communication, not that we would expect it directly, but even just generally to the fans who have been watching, I think is quite surprising. And I even want to say it's slightly disappointing, because I expect there are a lot of fans, including ourselves, who have been watching Ring of Honor and have been waiting for it to come onto UK screens, and it's suddenly been taken away from them. It's just, a shame, because it's been really good television, and I don't want that to be lost on fans, because not everyone has access to what we've got access to. I just hope that they're able to rectify this, however it may be rectified, and that people, and it's not going to take too long, and that people are able to, start viewing it again on UK screens, because, I just want Ring of Honor to succeed in 2020 and not to take a hit just as soon as we've sort of, as we were saying last week, hit a really good peak.
Next up, we have the second ROH champion, the all-around best Xavier, answering Jay Lethal, the franchise Jay Lethal's challenge for past versus present on Saturday the 14th of March. This was an outstanding promo from Xavier, which I would title Choices, some of the best work of his career. And as one of the matches that I'm sure we're most looking forward to, Stephen.
Yeah, definitely. Xavier's not missed, Mr. Step. fantastic. Just the fact that, you know, first of all, he was called out and he's responded, and that, you know, like we were saying all along on the show as well, the whole dynamic of the future of Ring of Honor and the past of Ring of Honor, this whole show is about that.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is going to be arguably the two, while Samoa Joe, you may say, is the most important Ring of Honor champion in history, Xavier was like, he was an important factor in that growing of the company, and Jay Lethal is the franchise of Ring of Honor, so they both have claim to that title. So this is going to be something epic, definitely something. And seeing Xavier again in Ring of Honor after all that time is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, the 18th year anniversary. Sorry, this match just jumps out of the water, doesn't it? Really.
Yeah.
Bandido against Dragon Lee. Yeah. Next up, Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff against Kenta and Toji Ishimori. At Supercard of Honor. This is the part where I can't bring you in, Stephen, because of time. So we'll talk about that in a preview in the future. Australian sensation, Adam Brooks has signed with Ring of Honor. I probably do need your opinion on this because I haven't seen anything of Adam Brooks.
Yeah.
Is he something the ROH fans should be excited about?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I saw Adam Brooks' name come through on, again, I use Twitter so frequently, but on my Twitter feed and on the website, I was just so impressed and so excited because, you know, the guy's got such great potential. He's got great talent, great charisma, great grounded wrestler. Very much reminds me when I've seen him of a Mark Haskins in that sort of style of working. And it's great to see as well that Ring of Honor are actually going and getting a lot of the Australian talent and bringing them into the company for people to see, because I've seen a lot of them through some of the Australian independent scene and New Japan and stuff, and there are some really talented wrestlers out there. So yeah, definitely a guy to watch for and to enjoy and to see more of.
Absolutely. And then another one that I'm sure jumped off the page, Mexi Squad. So Flamita, Rey Harus, Steven's favorite wrestler. Well, one of them, Bandido, against Will Ospreay, Amazing Red, and Rocky Romero at Supercard of Honor for the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team titles. There was a video sent out, Briscoe's challenging each other to a one-on-one match that has since been confirmed. Mark versus Jay Briscoe at Past versus Present. Cheeseburger has re-signed with ROH. Are we happy about that, Stephen?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Cheeseburger's got, you know, he's had a great time so far in Ring of Honor. Hugely popular with the fans. He's massive in Japan. He's huge in Japan as well. So if you like to see him in New Japan, he'd go crazy for him. And part of the Shinobi Shadow Squad. Great
best
trio
names
in Ring of Honor.
Stable ever in Ring of Honor history.
Definitely. So yeah, really excited. Really great to see one of the Ring of Honor Dojo graduates still there. So yeah, definitely.
Very good. So the last snippet of information I got before we came on the air is ROH are offering a round trip transport from the Bullet Club beach party to Supercard of Honor. Yeah, and that's kind of the ROH news for this week. I'm sure as soon as we finish recording, something monumental is going to happen. That we'll talk about in a week's time. But yeah, we have the ROH Star Spotlight, or maybe just ROH Spotlight in this instance.
Yeah.
And it is going to be on one of the most underrated people in ROH history, I think.
Yeah.
And that is Booker, Gabe Sapolsky.
Yeah, so this talk came about from a recent roundtable myself and Oliver took part in for the Wrestling Estate, which I write for, and Oliver was, you know, welcome to join the chat due to our, you know, love of Ring of Honor. And my colleague Jack Goodwillie actually chose as part of his Mount Rushmore Gabe Sapolsky, so it's only fair for us to talk about such a significant member of the Ring of Honor family and the lineage of the company. For those who don't know, who are new to Ring of Honor, Gabe Sapolsky was the former owner, co-owner of Ring of Honor when the company first started back in 2002. former ECW sort of protege of Paul Heyman. So as well as booking, he learned a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's, for those people who are fans of Ring of Honor, or they say it's like the golden years of Ring of Honor, myself and Oliver fall into that category. Gabe Sapolsky's booking of that period in time was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the years between, most prominently, 2002 to 2008, which was when he left the company. He was sacked, but he decided, it's a bit grey area, but we'll get to that. Between 2002 and 2008, he was unbelievable booker. The matches which he put on, or he put together with the first show, main event, Christopher Daniels, Loki, Bryan Danielson, set the standard for what was to come. Brought in guys like Samoa Joe, who we saw became the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion in history. The Briscoe brothers, longest reigning and, you know, highest amount of Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships in history.
Yeah.
Incredible feuds with, as we were mentioning later on, Paul London and Michael Shane, Bryan Danielson and Nigel McGuinness, Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer, another really underrated but important feud.
Absolutely.
He understands, if you watch those shows, he understood how to book a show from start to finish, and that everything was followed on. And because back in the day as well, we didn't have access to streaming services. You fans listening now, if you have the WWE Network, this is the
when I were a lad,
this was in the days when you didn't have those, have that there. You had to either follow message boards, or you had to buy every single DVD to follow what was happening on a feud. Yeah, Oliver included there, you see. Yeah. It was, but that's what made you want to watch the shows. That's great booking. You went out of your way and you bought this stuff. And Gabe was able to bring that to the forefront. His vision for what Ring of Honor was as well as a company, the code of honor for what it meant, the presentation with the aesthetics of the original turnbuckles, with the, not the standard three turnbuckles, but the, you know, the long Japanese style turnbuckles, the 20 counts on the floor, the pure championship, just which is coming back again, but just such revolutionary idea, such revolutionary ideas for a company. And he understood the, a lot like Triple H, they say about Triple H in NXT, but he understood the industry. He would seek out the international talent, Kenta, Naomichi Marufuji, Takeshi Morishima, Nigel McGuinness, the Dragon Gate talent, you know, who would later work with Dragon Gate USA. Kevin Steen and El Generico from Canada.
Yep.
He wanted to create this, you know, incredible bulk of talent, and he did, and he put on such incredible shows. I mean, the shows as well, like some of the greatest shows I believe personally have taken place in North America. Glory by Honor 5 Night 2, one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. Supercard of Honor 3, which we were in the audience for. Just unbelievable booking. It was a sad day when he left the company back in 2008. It may be for a lot of fans that Ring of Honor has never been the same again, and I can agree with that. We're in a new era now. Things have changed, but Gabe cannot be overlooked for his importance to the company, whether it be on commentary as well. He was a commentator. Whether it be booking, whether it be his vision for the company going forward, he made Ring of Honor what it is today, I believe. And everyone is owed a great ton of gratitude to Gabe for his contributions to not just Ring of Honor, but the industry. Look at the alumni.
There you go.
That's my 5 minutes is up. And I'll just pass it over to you, Oliver, briefly.
Yeah, Gabe Sapolsky. So for me, a fuse that jumped out at me, he booked Paul London and Michael Shane to a T. He booked Xavier and John Walters to a T. Unified is one of the best shows. Yeah, I wanted it to be about him tonight because we've gone back and forward on this. You know, wanting it to tie in with the Mount Rushmore article on the Wrestling Estate, as you said. And he was like, oh, okay, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. And I was like, well, when are we going to be able to talk about a Booker again? I said, Stephen, this is the best time to do it. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Gabe Sapolsky, we wouldn't be fans. I really wish that maybe he had have gone away and come back when the TV was in place, because yeah, he didn't have TV and he wanted to create TV stars and then push the promotion forward, and he didn't have that opportunity because the TV came in 2009 and then Sinclair Broadcasting Group come later, and he was gone by 2008. So did the best job he could do for those 6 years. And yeah, if it wasn't for Gabe Sapolsky's booking to go along with the incredible wrestlers of ROH, we wouldn't be doing an ROH review.
Absolutely. Yep, definitely.
Okay, so going into the show, we have highlights of Mexi Squad, as they're now called, Rey Harus, Bandido, Steven's favorite wrestler, every time. And Flamita against Villain Enterprises. And obviously we talked about, we're talking about great bookers. Whoever was involved in the decision to bring the six-man, the ROH World six-man titles forward a night and change them to the Mexi Squad is absolute genius.
Yeah.
So we only got highlights of this, but last week we got the full match, so go and check that out. And it's on our 13th episode.
The highlight package as well, just quickly, for this opening was awesome. I thought that, just quickly to put that in, I thought it was amazing. Fine.
Yeah. And then going into the matches, once again, it's a heavy TV taping show, which was really good. Two TV taping matches and a match from a previous show to a main event. So we'll come to that in a minute. The first match was Master and Machine, Griff Garrison and Marcus Cross against Party Peacock, Dalton Castle, and the prestigious one, Joe Hendry. And we believe in Joe Hendry. and once again, making a considered approach to get Steven more involved. So, just in this match, love the promo, pre-match promo. Definitely got across the characters of Castle and Hendry as being like this strange bedfellows tag team. Just really good. Great reversal at the fall away slam by Cross to land on his feet.
Yeah,
that was incredible. And then obviously the Skywalker elbow, which is just amazing. And then Hendry pushes Castle out the way, and they win the match. Well-oiled machine, possibly. it was a really good tag team match. Just good tag team wrestling and got across everyone, and a good start to the show. What did you make this one, Stephen?
Thought it was brilliant. Crowd were awesome again from this set of tapings, really added into the match. Master and Machine are quickly becoming one of our favourite tag teams in Ring of Honor. I think they've got so much potential and they're so innovative with what they do. Mm-hmm. Marcus Cross, when he did that double stomp into the elbow on the floor,
that's
I thought was brilliant.
What I was just going to say. Well, that was awesome. You're reading my mind. Dangerous stuff, Steven, I tell you, man. Be careful.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
That's cool.
I just think that these guys really put on a good showing against two established stars, former Ring of Honor champion Dalton Castle and, you know, international star Joe Hendry. Thought it was great. And as you pointed out as well, the pre-match promo with... I just love the dynamic of Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry. I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I just think they're such a great tag team. So, yeah, really enjoyed it again.
Yeah, like I said, they're really stringing along this whole we're not going to feud and wrestle at the 18th anniversary, aren't they? I don't like being wrong, so but by the same token, like I've said on previous shows and stuff, I really want them to make a considered approach for the ROH World Tag Team titles, and then you could do that first and then the feud. So so much they can do in this situation. It's really cool to watch. Once again, the Mecca, Brian Johnson, and PJ Black, the whole mentorship stuff was shown in the video package.
Yeah.
Going on from that, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
I just think that there's such a great that Brian Johnson's just got such an awesome persona. Again, there's so many ways that he's just, like we've said before about Shane Taylor, it's kind of shadowing what I've said before, but he's just a star. He's just a star in the making. And
absolutely.
PJ Black, I think their dynamic as well is brilliant.
Yeah.
But Brian Johnson is really, it's interesting, but he really is. And I don't know whether that's because PJ Black is taking a step back because he's the established star or how it's working, but Brian Johnson really is. He's got to be pushed. He's got to be a star in this company. He's brilliant. He's brilliant. Well,
just from his promos, the promo in the mirror and stuff. It's like I said, the only person in the company that he's probably second to in terms of promo is Shane Taylor, Shane Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we talked about this on the Free Enterprise preview, but I'm going to mention it again. Quinn McKay interviewing Mark Haskins. Tracy Williams was there. Dissension in the Lifeblood.
It could be. It could be. It was interesting, definitely, to say the least. I thought it was a really interesting little segment. For me personally, I think I would like to see them separate just because I want to see more of Mark Haskins as a singles guy rather than a tag team, because I just feel it's his time again. But
yeah,
Lifeblood aren't a terrible team, don't get me wrong, they're great together. No, they're
brilliant tag team, really good, and we'll talk about it in the main event.
They
are underrated as a tag team. So I'd like to see new blood in the Lifeblood as opposed to the stable breaking up, but I can see the possibility of it based on this promo, this interview, and then we move on to Rhett Titus against, I think I have to say this just in case he's watching, Oliver's favourite wrestler, Danhausen. He's just absolutely amazing. He makes you smile, he makes you laugh, and as long as you don't swear, he promises not to put teeth in your mouth. So no swearing, Danhausen. We love you here on the ROH review.
We do.
But you've got to give credit to Rhett Titus as well. Beautiful helicopter suplex. Did you see that?
That was crazy.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. And then Danhausen decided to reply with a sunset flip German suplex.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is our Joe versus Kobashi. I got a little bit carried away. And then obviously got teeth, which he wasn't fighting the Beer City Bruiser because he's got no teeth. And the only point of contention I have with this match is a dropkick ended the match. Yeah, Danhausen, sign him. I know he's trying to covertly get into my mind to say those words on the ROH review, but not being coerced at all. We want and we need more Danhausen.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll even change the show for you, Danhausen. Danhausen ROH review. So, what do you want to say on this match, Stephen?
Just everything you just said. I think you put it perfectly, Oliver, just that Danhausen's a brilliant wrestler. And just needs to be signed. And I thought they had great chemistry together, these two. And I do agree that I think after the helicopter suplex, that should have ended it. But instead, the dropkick kind of, I get the unpredictability side of it, but I wasn't feeling that really considering. But it was while it lasted, it was a great match. And the chemistry between the two of them was, I'd really like to see them go out again. I think that they'd have another great match. So another great TV match.
It was great dynamic, definitely. Yep. And then there's like a Le Fashion kind of video, which kind of leads into Le Fashion versus Villain Enterprise next week. So that is for anyone who's not aware of this new faction, new stable. We've got Kenny King, El Toro Blanco, Roosh, and the current reigning defending ROH World Television Champion Dragon Lee with Amy Rose against the Villain Enterprises, Mighty Skrull, PCO, and Brody King won it.
Brody King.
So that's to come next week on the ROH review episode 15. Okay, so we go into the main event, which was from Honor Saturday night at Center Stage, Dan Maff, Jeff Cobb versus the aforementioned lifeblood of Overkill Mark Haskins and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams against the Briscoes. Now, this was obviously a short while ago, so I'm going to probably throw this to you, Stephen, after I've just put one great thing. I just put it was a great triple threat. Everyone got the chance to shine. I think it was one of those matches on the show where we wasn't sure what the situation would be, but after, obviously with the talents involved, it's going to be fantastic. But it really was. This was really good to great. And like I said, this was from early January, and we're almost about a month out. So, I'm going to throw this to you. What did you make of this main event match?
I thought it was the same as what I thought when I first saw it back in January. I thought it was phenomenal. The six guys all played the parts in different ways. Cobb and Math were the bruising, strong men, you know, were coming with all the power moves. The Briscoes were the brawlers who brought all the, you know, heavy hitting and the crazy stuff. And then Haskins and Tracy Williams were all the sort of cruiserweight technical style. And some of the stuff what the Briscoes did, like some of the dives and some of the stuff, was awesome. And the crowd
Haskins and Tracy Williams like changed direction when they were diving, didn't they? Which was really cool.
Awesome. And the crowd just loved it. The crowd was so into this match. It was awesome. And it was one of those matches where it over-delivered. It really over-delivered for what was, for I think what we were expecting from the match, for it to be what it became. I think it really over-delivered, and it was a great way to end the TV show, because it was one of those shows which needed a hot ending, and that was the peak of it at this episode. It was brilliant.
The ROH throwback this week is going to be the reason why we titled the show Please Don't Die, along with the UK TV deal, because the ROH review is not going to die, and you know, we're going to move forward with it, is the match I'm talking about. Paul London versus Michael Shane, Street Fight, ROH Unscripted, 2002. And I'm not sure I can do this in 5 minutes, but here goes. Okay, so Paul London and Michael Shane come into the company, so I'll give you a bit of background first. They were fighting for a contract. Michael Shane stole the contract, and then he kind of backstage, you've got all these moves, Paul, but you can't win a match. And like slaps him across the head. And then that led to Honor Invades Boston, Michael Shane, Paul London. Really great wrestling match. And then Michael Shane feigns an injury and catches Paul London with a quick 1-2-3. See? Simplistic booking.
Yeah.
The heat, the heat between the two guys was slowly simmering. And he reached fever pitch at that point in time. We go to ROH Unscripted. Paul London, Brian Danielson wants Paul London to be his tag team partner. Michael Shane comes out. Paul London can't take losing to Michael Shane the way he did. They get into an altercation. He said he wants a street fight against Michael Shane. You know, he says to Brian Danielson, I can't be your tag team partner. And then, yeah, we go to the match itself. Michael Shane, you know, tries to get a fast start. Paul London fights back. The best thing about this is people will say it is because of the, you know, the things that happened in the match. But I watched it again tonight, and the psychology is on point. It is a tremendous wrestling match with excuse me, with the added spots that happen, which are out of this world, even 18 years later coming up. Paul London, you know, gives an absolutely incredible performance. Michael Shane is on top of his game in terms of just narrowing it down to moments and stuff, running up a huge ladder to do a cannonball flip was just amazing. And then obviously the ending of the match with Paul London climbing the ladder that was basically unclimbable, and the fans chant, "Please don't die, please don't die." And that's stuck. It's on, you know, wrestling games. If you picked up WWE games and stuff, it's on there. Even though that didn't happen in that company. This was an incredible match, and I'm only kind of scratching the surface. I don't want to kind of, I know it's 18 years and stuff, but I don't want to ruin the different parts of the match. The violence was on point. The intensity was on point. The hatred was there. And it's just a spectacular match. I've talked about this in the past, I think on the debut show. I've shown it to anyone let's watch wrestling with me, male or female. And they've said they might not like wrestling, but they can respect this match. And that's the best tribute you can have, I think. For wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans, they truly respected the fact that Paul London and Michael Shane, you know, had done pretty much everything but kill themselves in this match.
Yeah.
And God bless Paul London. He tried with that the shooting star press off the ladder. So that's why it's my ROH throwback this week. Yeah, this match, almost 18 years later, with just over 20 seconds to go on my 5 minutes. I'll throw it to you once again, Stephen, in a second, because we might as well do that. Made Paul London a huge star. Should have really propelled Michael Shane even further up, because he had everything. And one second, that's my 5 minutes. This should have catapulted Paul London to the ROH world title, which I guess it would have if he hadn't signed for WWE. And if he was allowed to perform at this level in WWE, as I've stated in my, you know, in my book, which we'll talk about later in the show, I have no doubt in my mind that he would have been a WWE or a World Heavyweight Champion, because he was that good as a babyface to get behind, that he could have had so many amazing feuds with some of the heels in WWE. He could have wrestled any of them and been a huge star. So for Michael Shane, it's unfortunate that this was probably the highest moment of his ROH career, because he was very talented. He did go on to TNA, where he's X Division champion. And just unfortunate, he lost his name, Matt Bentley, because of the Shane twins, which was a joke. just wish this match had have happened under the bright lights, maybe at WrestleMania. That's the only way this match could have been better. Absolutely incredible. It's on the ROH YouTube channel. And once Stephen's spoken about it and you've watched the ROH review episode 14 and listened to it, go and check it out.
Yeah, just, you know, one of those early matches in Ring of Honor history which just propelled both guys to stardom. And as you said, incredible booking to bring it. Just because I'm a bit sort of unsure, was it a fight without honor by any chance?
It was a street fight, but street people fight. They have it confused with the fact that it might have been a ladder match. But the ladder was used in the match. It was a street fight.
Yeah. You know, just great, great psychology. Crowd were completely into it. Both guys were just out there hungry, wanting to show what they could do. Dangerous spots, but spots which you won't forget, you know, definitely. And, you know, it's one of those matches which, as you said, you can watch at any time and you can just discover new things in it, or you forget certain aspects of it and you watch it again and you realise just how good it actually was.
Yep.
And I think in the early years of Ring of Honor, especially sort of 2002, it was one of the best matches of the of the year, if not. I mean, it's there were so many great matches from that year, but it could be debated that it was the match of the year due to the storyline progression and the climax of the feud.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, brilliant. Go out and watch it. It's on YouTube and see something from the early days of Ring of Honor, which you probably won't see again because it was just so unique.
Yeah,
definitely go and watch it.
Like I said, the thing that I got tonight before we started the ROH review was it was a wrestling match. It wasn't just a bunch of craziness.
Yeah,
it was. There was actually a wrestling match that took place, and they just added in things. And I was like, oh wow! And obviously, you know, 20 minutes long and stuff. And yeah, coming up to 18 years later this September. It's still a great match. You know, they were chanting five-star match and match of the year and stuff. And it's definitely up there as one of the matches of the year in 2002. And it's a match you can look back on, you know, almost 18 years later, and it still holds up to this day.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely amazing match. And the feud itself, simplistic, fantastic booking from Gabe Sapolsky, much like the feud between Xavier and John Walters the next year. Simplistic booking. Heel cheats, babyface wants revenge. It all climaxes in a big, you know, no holds barred street fight, or in Xavier and John Walters match, a fight without honor at Final Battle 2003.
Yeah.
So this, you know, booking isn't rocket science, but, you know, it just shows, you know, you lose a match, you lose it in nefarious circumstances. You want revenge, you keep fighting, and then the blow off, which was incredible in this situation and in others. You mentioned BJ Whitmer and Jimmy Jacobs, same kind of thing, I can imagine. I said about Xavier and John Walters. You could have Samoa Joe against the Briscoes, how that built up, and then the cage match.
Yeah.
You know? So that's everything, really. So yeah, we're adding in a new thing because we've had a, you know, a fan contact us. Adam Gauntlet has asked us a few questions that me and Stephen are going to take on. He has said how to watch ROH, which we'll probably answer when we wrap up. Where should he start watching ROH? This might be interesting. In terms of where to start, it depends which ROH alumni you want to watch, or if you've heard about feuds and you want to watch them, it's probably, I'm probably throwing this back to you, Adam. Really,
years,
if you can,
years.
Yeah, if you can give us more information in your next question after you watched the video of this ROH review, then that'd be good. Any matches to look up and why, Stephen?
Yeah, a few from, you know, as we've mentioned, Paul London and Michael Shane definitely needs to be watched, which is on YouTube. I'm going to mention matches which are on YouTube for free because it's easier.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So from the early days, Brian Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness from the 6th anniversary shows on YouTube. Definitely check that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Cole versus AJ Styles from All-Star Extravaganza 6 to WWE Stars at the moment. Had an incredible match in 2014. Very underrated match.
Yeah.
And there's also the Kevin Steen and El Generico and Age of the Fall, Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black match on YouTube as well. Great tag team match for you to check out from 2008. So definitely check that one out as well.
Yeah,
for a variety.
And for myself, if we're going to go down the YouTube route, I think any of the matches we've talked about so far, really.
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns, Briscoes is just is an incredible match. Nigel McGuinness versus Samoa Joe for the pure title, especially with what happens in that match. Obviously, Paul London, Michael Shane.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stuff that's on YouTube, if you take on the club, then a lot of the shows from 2002 are on there. So that's a really good place to start at the beginning. Yeah. I would just say to it once again, Joe versus Kobashi, if you can track that down, especially with no commentary, just for the atmosphere and the aura of two amazing wrestlers. Austin Aries versus Samoa Joe, Final Battle 2004. Yeah. He definitely checked that one out. It just depends who you like. If you can get back in contact with us and let us know about ROH alumni you like, then we can probably help you out from there. What stands out about the promotion?
Definitely the style of wrestling. It's completely, at the point when I started watching, completely different to anything else I'd seen. The strong style aspect, the independent aspect, the rabid fans, like ECW fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just the fact that once you have watched, you either with Ring of Honor, you're just drawn into it. And
yeah.
I mean, I've thankfully been a fan throughout its near enough its entire existence, through the good and the bad times. So I've seen a lot of good and bad matches, and I've seen a lot of, but I think you are a Ring of Honor fan for life. I think you'll always have a passion for the company. And I think when you meet myself and Oliver, have met through our mutual love of the company, and that is a really amazing thing. Then that's why we're here talking now. It's really special, that, I think.
Absolutely.
And I think, more people should appreciate Ring of Honor, because it is such an incredible promotion with such an incredible past and current and future, present and future, sorry.
To talk about what Stephen said, probably echoing different points, I think ROH showed me independent wrestling, definitely in America, and then got me involved in Britain as well. We had a love for it back then. It waned for me because of different things. And then obviously the UK TV deal that we've mentioned a lot on this show. But that brought me back in November 2019. Me and Stephen got together, and after doing a bunch of shows with our colleague Chris Lappin, when we were talking about ROH champions. And then this come up, and we was like, okay, we'll do the ROH review and we'll talk about it weekly. And this is transpiring into all sorts. We're writing articles on it. We're doing the ROH review. I've interviewed ROH alumni Shane Hagedorn today to open up a new series called ROH Review Interviews, which will be more content for our YouTube channel and the Broken But Glorious Wrestling SoundCloud. It's something that was a passion of mine and Stephen's back in November that we are taking and taking it to the next level now. It's, like I said, it's incredible. The wrestlers who have come back to us and said, yep, we want an interview. It's amazing that we're at that point just over 3.5 months later.
Yeah.
So, ROH in the early days was just amazing. Wrestling, not really that much emphasis on sports entertainment. Then it was about feuds. I've already mentioned Michael Shane and Paul London. CM Punk really drawed me in, being straight edge and me not drinking, smoking, or doing illicit drugs. He was my guy, and obviously still was when he moved on and stuff. because, you know, he lives my lifestyle, and it's really cool to be able to see a wrestler do that. And yeah, like I said, Homicide, Steve Corino. Yeah, we could talk about feuds all night, yeah, basically. But ROH was NXT before NXT now. That's probably why it struggled a little bit after the G1 Supercard. But I think the thing, obviously, that's brought me and Steven together, I think based on the fact that he's a Huddersfield fan and I'm a Birmingham City fan, this sounds completely unrelated, but it's true that we like an underdog.
Yeah.
You know, anyone can go and support Manchester City or Liverpool nowadays when they win the title in the Premier League. But, you know, your local team, this is our local promotion. Yeah. Even though it's based in America, this is our promotion. This is the one we want to succeed above all. I'm sure you feel the same way, Stephen. So, yeah, we just said, you know, we love this. You know, we've got an opportunity with Broken But Glorious Wrestling. That's been amazing hosts of the ROH review. We really appreciate Chris, Nick and Mark and, you know, Pablo and the team. You know, it's been fantastic to host us, and you know, 9,000 listen, almost 9,000 listeners. I think we've broken that point at this moment in time. Yeah. Is incredible in 3.5 months. And yeah, it is our passion and something, you know, we haven't gone into these ROH reviews and slated ROH really when the critics out there do it left, right, and center. We're trying, you know, to help it get to where it was, and we do truly believe in the product in 2020. Yeah. It started off really well. We had the match of the year last week, and I say that because I said, Stephen, if this is how we finish up, at least we did the match of the year, and yeah, the promotion is. You know, the wrestlers deserve all the credit. You know, the only thing is it's gone from independent promotion to national TV.
Yeah.
And it's changed. You know, it's not how it used to be, and it can't be how it used to be.
No.
Like I said, I'd love to see Gabe Sapolsky as the booker with TV, because he had some great ideas. Mm. But unfortunately, he left the company before TV was in place. So, yeah, long-winded response, but we love ROH,
yeah,
and have done since the beginning. We want it to succeed more than ever. And that's what stands out about the promotion. And I think the passionate fans, like you said, like Joe versus Kobashi without commentary, is just the fans going crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how me and Stephen were towards the product. And now we're kind of unbiased. We talk about all aspects of the product, good and bad, which we talked about in previous shows. And you know, we've talked about how amazing Dearborn, Michigan was. You know, for a show, how incredible Atlanta, Georgia was for on a Saturday night center stage. We've talked about how incredible that was. And yeah, we just wanted to succeed. And that's why we do the ROH review.
Yeah.
So hopefully we've answered all your questions. But if you've got follow-up questions, Adam, then feel free to send them along and we'll answer them next week on ROH review episode 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Stephen touched on it in that moment with the questions from Adam. But with the UK TV deal situation being up in the air with ROH's TV, on the website for free, on Fight TV for free, on the Honor Club if you're a member like me and Stephen are.
Yeah.
Check your local TV listings on Sinclair Broadcasting Group in the USA, and yeah, anywhere where they've got a TV deal, which we don't have to hand, and yeah, this. For episode 13 could have been the end of the ROH review, but we want to push forward and we hope you're joining us. We hope you can get access to these shows based on the information we've just given you. And yeah, just to wrap up, Stephen, really, if you want to talk about your wrestling stuff, then that's great.
Yeah, you can also find me as a member of the Wrestling Estate, and you can find the Wrestling Estate on Twitter at the Wrestling EST, where I've written several articles. My most recent article, which I wrote or penned myself, which Oliver very kindly has plugged, was about legendary wrestler and former Ring of Honor alumni Jushin Thunder Liger. And we also took part in, as we mentioned earlier, the ROH Mount Rushmore, which was a round table which would take part in each week.
Yeah.
And we cover all aspects of the industry. So come and find us at the Wrestling EST, or if you come and look for us on Google, just search for the Wrestling Estate and you'll find us there.
So yeah, for myself, I'm a free time pro wrestling author. For my first book, which is right here, I have it this time. A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I talk about ROH in the book. I was lucky enough to be at Unified. We've mentioned that on the show. And I was fortunate enough to be in the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers and be at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 to see the very last Samoa Joe match at the time. It was a really cool experience, and including the Nigel McGuinness, Jimmy Rave match was crazy. Next up, we have my second book, which I haven't really promoted, but this is about the ROH alumni. So we've talked about people who have left ROH and gone, to WWE and stuff. So if you want to, even though it's not about ROH per se, it is about ROH alumni. So if you're wondering what's happened to AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, etc. My second book, Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. We'll fill you in on that. And then my last book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, is where I go into real detail about Paul London possibly being a main eventer in WWE based on the information I gave in the throwback. And in terms of ROH, I was at the Orlando Double Shot, the Supercard of Honor free show that Stephen mentioned earlier. And like I said, all three of these books are available on Amazon on paperback and Kindle. Kindle Limited for free. And if you'd like them signed, get in contact with me on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. And yeah, like I said, thank you very much for your support for myself and for the show. And at Broken But Glorious Wrestling, BBG Wrestling, which me and Stephen are very proud to be a part of too. Yep. We have a partnership with powerslam.tv. You get 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions, and you can use the streaming service for a month free on us using the code BROKENFREE. And yeah, enjoy that. For BBG Wrestling, like I said before, we have a Twitter, BBG Wrestling, at BBG Wrestling, sorry. Main show is at BBGW Pod. And we have a website, bbgwrestling.com. And for ourselves, our Twitter is at ROH Review, because if you say the ROH Review, you won't be able to find it.
No.
So the Instagram is at ROH Review again. The YouTube is a funny thing that we've got to put in the comments. Email is rohreview@outlook.com for your questions, feedback, comments, and all. That's all good. Much like Adam, get in contact, any of the socials, if you want to send us a question, or on the email, that's absolutely fine. And in terms of what we've got coming up, just to finish off, we have the first part of my interview with ROH alumni Shane Hagedorn, which I hope you'll all enjoy. Two-part, we went an hour and a half when I asked for an hour of his time, and he graciously allowed me the extra half an hour because I had to get Stephen's questions in. Okay, delayed reaction there from Stephen, but he got it. Okay. So we've got that coming up, and that's possibly going to be Wednesday. The audio for this will be out tonight, Monday, and the video of this will be out tomorrow, Tuesday. Shane Hagedorn, either the audio or the video is coming out Wednesday, and the opposite of that Thursday. And we'll be recording our ROH Free Enterprise review, and that should be out this coming weekend before the show. So before next Sunday, for example. And yeah, that's it really. Once again, thank you so much to all the listeners, all the viewers, all the subscribers on YouTube, for the, you know, the feedback, the positive feedback, the likes, the retweets, you know, being available for interviews, much like Shane Hagedorn.
Yep.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many to come. It's a really exciting time for the ROH review.
Absolutely.
And it just proved that we had to continue, regardless of the TV deal and stuff. If we can watch it, we will bring the ROH review to you. And yeah, just thank you very much for supporting us. Hope you haven't left ROH because of what's happened. And yeah, you've got a number of ways to find it, still be able to watch it, and hopefully everything's sorted out. And we will be back, like I said, with the Shane Hagedorn part one, the ROH Free Enterprise review, ROH episode 14 is going out tonight. And ROH review episode 15 next Monday.
Yeah.
And until then, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Almost 9,000 listens just on SoundCloud alone. It's pretty incredible. So
it is.
Yeah, thank you very much for your support of the ROH review, and good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.